The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But what I say to you is, offer no resistance to one who is evil. When someone strikes you on your right cheek, turn the other one as well. If anyone wants to go to law with you over your tunic, hand over your cloak as well. Should anyone press you into service for 1 mile, go for 2 miles. And give to the one who asks of you, and do not turn your back on the borrower. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But what I say to you is, love your enemies, and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father, for he makes his sun to rise on the bad and the good, and causes his rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers and sisters only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect." The Gospel of the Lord. Well, quite the celebration in the Gospel, quite a difference. We talked about law last week, and on the front of the bulletin you will notice I continued Soren Kierkegaard's perspective so that you might understand how we respond when we are at different stages in the behavioral level. In stage one, how we respond to law, how we respond to sin, and how we respond to reconciliation. And then the same in stage two, the ethical stage, and the same in stage three, the religious stage, how we respond there. Big difference between 1 and 3 in terms of our response to law, sin, and reconciliation. We talked about the law being a value that Jesus was holding out to us to make effective choices in following him. And then here he comes saying today, "You've heard the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth." It certainly seems to be alive and well in our world and in our country today, that old law, that old idea. If we had our pads in front of us today, this is the question I would ask. There's only one question. Have you ever tried Jesus' invitation to love your enemies, to pray for your enemies? And what was the outcome? I would be pretty confident that for people who have tried it, it certainly has worked. Because it is, in essence, stopping the evil. It's standing in the way, or in the face of, standing in the block. And instead of allowing it to overwhelm me, I take it in. And do not let it overwhelm me. It's just what Jesus himself did. That's what that is about, that crucifix, that he took it on himself. He didn't retaliate. Peter stood with him and whipped out his sword, and he said, "Oh, come on, Peter. I mean, have you been with me all this time and still you don't know and understand this?" He said, "This is not the way we do in the Christian way. Retaliation is not a virtue or a value." You've heard the adage, or you've heard the saying attributed to many, anger, resentment, hate. They are like drinking poison and hoping that the other person dies. That's how bad anger, resentment, and hatred are. Hatred poisons the heart. Love purifies it. The antidote to hatred or anger is love. Jesus says to us, love your enemies. And it is not for the sake of our enemies that he is saying this, but it's for our sake. Another one of the great authors said, the Irish author said, I came to understand at last why he said, love your enemies. And it was not so much for our enemies' sake, but for our own. Because I began to realize it just does not wear well on the beautiful countenance. It changes the countenance and the beauty of a person. It changes and constricts their body and their being and their movement. He said, he invited us to love our enemies just because hatred does not wear well on us as human beings. We all know that to be true. There is one thing that can utterly destroy the gift of love, and that is hatred. G.K. Chesterton, the great author, said, Christianity hasn't failed, it's simply never been tried. Chesterton, actually what he said specifically was Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found hard and left untried. More than any other, the exhortation to love one's enemies has been left untried. And so Jesus comes with this great challenge, and it's not some innate or crazy challenge. It's an invitation that he accepted and took up himself. And that is to love our enemies. He said, you heard the law, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the law of retaliation. In fact, it is called the Italian law. It came out of Babylon, Egypt, long, long ago, when they were trying to bring order to their kingdom. They were trying to be reciprocal for somebody who had committed a crime against another. They were trying to legislate for them, and they were saying, you cannot take more than has been exacted in the action against you. For example, if somebody took your eye, then you have an entitlement to have an eye back, or a tooth, or a limb, or anything else in that way. The Italian law, the lex talionis, the Latin term, existed for a long, long time, and here Jesus challenges it and says, my friends, that is not enough. The Italian law is just a very base, simple navigation of relationships with others. The principle was that a person who has injured another person is to be penalized to the same degree. The victim receives the same estimated punishment or value of punishment as the injury that was committed. English word talion, retalion and retaliation, we certainly understand it. It's a means of retaliation that was authorized by the law. Let me tell you a story. Two Irish men who were neighbors, two farmers, John and James. Wouldn't you think one of them would be named Patrick? I mean, really, you would be right probably 50% of the time if you called an Irishman Patrick. But James and John, for this purpose, they were good friends until a dispute between them broke out over a piece of land. They were unable to settle the issue between themselves, and so eventually it went to court, and the court decided in favor of John. James was very bitter about it, and so under the cover of darkness, he went and put poison in John's well. Not a fatal dose, but enough to give it an obnoxious taste and an odious smell. John was very angry. His neighbors heard about it, and some of the neighbors, they just stood back and refused to get involved. They said, hey, I have no dog in this fight. not going to become involved. They can work it out. But others were supportive and declared that James should be made to pay for what he had done. With that kind of support, John was about to go by night and poison James as well, when a stranger arrived at his home. On hearing this story, the stranger agreed that it was a very nasty situation indeed. But he was clear that he wouldn't agree with the retaliation. He said to John, "Poison is not a thing to be played around with." He said, "I have a better idea. I'll show you in the morning." In the morning, his idea was to clean out the well. He offered to help, and reluctantly, John agreed. It was a messy business, and it took them 2 whole days to clean out the well. And then they ran the fresh water through the well several times. And finally, the stranger took a cup of the water and drank it, and he declared that it was clean. John drank from the well, but he insisted that he could still taste the poison, to which the stranger replied, "Take it from me. The water is perfect, but you will continue to taste the poison until you do one more thing." "What is that?" John asked earnestly. "You must forgive your neighbor. You've got rid of the poison from the well, but not the poison that lodges in your mind and heart. Not until you let go of the bitterness and forgive your brother will the water tastes right." That evening, John went over to his neighbor and made peace with him. And when he came back, he tasted the water again, and this time it tasted good. That's what Jesus is talking about. Hatred is a very dangerous thing. It can destroy us. We consume more energy in hating and being angry and being resentful and unforgiving than we do in any other activity in our lives. Let me repeat that. We consume more energy in hating than in any other activity in our lives. Somewhere along the way, we gotta stop the evil and stop the insult. We've got to endure it. People like Nelson Mandela walking out of Robben Island after 27 years and smiling and saying he wanted to forgive and reconcile those people who had put him in there. Mother Teresa, in that great example, one day when she picked up a young boy who was starving on the streets of Calcutta and she brought him to the baker's shop and she said, "Sir, would you please give this young boy something to eat? He is starving." And the baker spat in her face and she said immediately, she said, "Now that was for me. Now would you give something to the boy?" That is enduring and stopping the hatred. That's what Jesus was inviting Peter to do in the judgment scene when Peter just impetuously whipped out his sword and Jesus said, "Put that sword back. That's not the way we live." Hatred creates a legacy of bitterness, hostility, and resentment. Christ's way is the better way. It's not a soft way. In fact, it's a very hard way, and it calls for great strength and great toughness. The truth is that the person who is truly nonviolent, who is incapable of violence themselves, that's the most powerful person. That is the person who is fearless. The one who can stand and take the insult and injury because they know a greater truth.